Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
It's hard to believe we're in 2026 already, first Sunday of the month, and I can't think of a better way than to start it than to be in church with my church family, visitors we have this morning. So it's good to be with you guys today. You know, for the last few years, I've tried to encourage all of us to fast for 21 days in the month of January as a church. The intent was to start the year out drawing closer to God, which I believe should be all of our desire, or even our own individual life, starting out with getting closer to the Lord ourselves throughout this next year, and maybe experiencing the Lord in a more powerful way in our lives. Other years, I've tried to encourage us with a word, a particular word, a theme, or something like that to get us focused for the year, what we may accomplish. And, you know, as a leader, I myself have fasted the 21 days, and I will probably be fasting this year also more than the 21, just here and there. And I've also tried to accomplish whatever theme or word that we had for that year, of whatever year that might have been, that'd be part of my life. But this year, however, I do not have a theme for the church. Nor am I calling us to a 21-day fast. And everybody said, hallelujah. But I do have a challenge for you, for each of you as individuals today. And perhaps for the next few minutes, that's what I'll be presenting to you, a challenge for each one of us. The challenge is that we all will be moving forward in Christ. That we all will be moving forward in Christ. Think about this. If we are all moving forward in Christ as individuals, then San Jacinto Assembly will also be moving forward in Christ. Because after all, the church is the people, and the spirituality of the people will determine the spirituality of the church itself. When we all come together and we're all going toward Christ, then our church also will be going in that direction. Did you know this morning that the Scripture is not silent on moving forward in our walk with Christ? Scripture encourages the Christian to be moving forward in their walk. We find it many times. You know, modern teaching in America's church seems to tell people that the sinner's prayer is enough. Which, by the way, you can't find that theology in the Bible. We are told in Romans to confess with our mouth that He is Lord. Did you know there's something about saying that Christ is Lord that affects every one of our lives? The word Lord is not just thrown around like we throw words around today in the culture that we live in and don't expect any meaning to come out of that. In the Scripture, when we call somebody Lord, that means our life comes under their teaching. Our life is under what they say. Our life is directed by them and ordered by them. When we call Him Lord, the Scripture says, it doesn't say just confess your sins. It says to confess Him as Lord of our lives. Oh yes, there's confession, there's repentance, there's those things. And also Scripture tells us that we are to believe that He is resurrected from the grave. Why is that important? Because He is the only man that's ever come up out of the grave that also ascended 40 days later into heaven. That is what Scripture speaks of. Two important things, Lord, and also believing that the grave is empty. If our Savior is still in the grave, we might as well just go on with life the way we've always done it. Because the resurrection is a vital importance of our relationship with God. Paul said that if He's not resurrected, we might as well just live it up. We might as well just enjoy life. Now, let me rephrase that. I enjoy life, but I'm talking about it in another way. So we find here that the teaching... We are to worship Him in truth and spirit, what He told the lady at the well. We can't do that without a right relationship with God. See, Scripture reveals that there should be advancements in our walk with Him after we confess our faith in Him. There should be some advancements in our walk after we've confessed. After we confess with our mouth that He's Lord and believe in our heart that He's resurrected from the grave. There should be some advancements in our life. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7 says this, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it, and with thanksgiving." Rooted in who? Christ Jesus. We are to be rooted in all about Him, all His teachings, every aspect of His life. We are to be rooted and grounded into that. Talk about advancement. That brings it way more than just a prayer that we said. Well, how can we accomplish this in our lives, each one of us? How can we accomplish getting a deeper walk with Christ? First thing you got to understand, that's what God wants you to do. You've got to come into the clarification in your life that God wants you to grow. We are told to move forward from the elementary principles of Christ. We find that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Now, I don't have the scriptures up there. I have the reference. If you downloaded the app, you'll see the reference on the app. But I'm saying the first time that we read this, we are told to move forward from the elementary principles of Christ in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, which reads this, "So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature." The word in King James says perfect. Now, there's not any of us in this house this morning that are perfect. If you're looking for the perfect Christian, you're not going to find him on planet Earth. We all got flaws in our personality. We wake up sometimes in a bad mood and we don't respond like we should. Even some of the other preachers do that. Or maybe this preacher does it every now and then also. But we don't have that. But the word mature means that we are growing. We're going past those principles of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the principles of getting saved, the principles of baptism, and what the message is, that we grow deeper in understanding in the Lord, deeper in the way we respond to one another, deeper in our emotions that will line up with the Word of God. Talking about maturing in our relationship. Can I tell you this morning, there's some people that have been in the church 40 years that need to mature. It's a process in our life of growing, and we are to move past those elementary principles of Christ. I've seen people saved, or heard people say, "Well, I got saved 30 times when I was a kid." Every time they'd do something wrong, they'd come back down to the altar. We need to move past that in our lives. Amen? We need to understand that one sin's not going to take your salvation away, but at the same time, we need to move on and start living our lives with God. The message here in this passage is to grow up in the gospel beyond initial repentance and individual salvation. It is talking about growing in our walk with God in the things that we teach. Paul told the church in Corinth, he says this, and I find it interesting he'd write this to the church, but I mean, you know, most of the epistles that Paul wrote were correcting the church. And he wrote this, he says, "In brethren," in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, "Brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it." What's Paul saying? He said, "I'm speaking to a group of people that repented, confessed Jesus as Lord, believed that He was resurrected, but yet they have not matured or beginning mature in their walk." So he says, "I've got to feed you milk again." Now, we all understand that when it comes to a baby, you don't feed a baby a T-bone. I don't care if they're from Texas. You're going to have to feed them some milk. And so this is what it's speaking of here. Paul's saying, you have not moved past the elementary principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, if you'll move past that, then I can give you some heavier food to eat, more deeper spiritual food to eat. Because he says this very thing. He says, "I can't feed you with the heavier food because you have not moved past those elementary principles." So we find in the scripture says, hey, every one of us that have claimed the name of Jesus have the responsibility to start maturing in our knowledge of God and also the practicing of His Word. All of us, not just the pastor, but every one of us in the house this morning that have received Jesus Christ. We are to move forward. We are told in Scripture also to add to our faith. To add to our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 9 says this, "But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith." What faith? That elementary faith, that faith that I had when I came into a relationship with God. The Bible tells me as a Christian that I am to add to that faith that I have professed with my mouth. Listen to it says, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue we are to add knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness we are to add love. And if these things, listen what this says, if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfaithful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are to be added to the Christian's life. Now, I'll confess to you this morning, in my walk with God, I've had to work on some of these things. Matter of fact, I'm still working on some of them. But the ideal is this, that I understand that it is my responsibility. I wish God could just download something in me and I would be that complete man that He wants me to be. Amen? Wouldn't that be easy? Oh, I get saved and all of a sudden you see a light from heaven. That'd be beautiful. That would just beam down into my head and just all of a sudden I'm exactly who God wants me to be. But the fact is, it's not how it works with God. You start out with that simple faith, but if I understand, it's my responsibility to go out and eat the scriptural stuff, to process that in my life, to get into the Word and start letting that be part of my... And it's also my responsibility to start renewing my mind in the Lord Jesus Christ that what the Scripture says now becomes part of my life. I'll tell you, one of the worst witnesses to this world that we live in are Christians that say they're Christian, but yet they're not adding to their faith. They are hard to deal with in business. They are hard to deal with in relationships. We all bump into them. It almost scares me sometimes when someone introduces themselves as a Christian. You say, why is that? Because I've been burnt many times by people like that. And what is it? We have not added to our faith. We are to add virtue. That's good character. What? Good character in paying my bills. Good character. If you shake my hand, I'm going to keep the business deal. The other day I had a young man. I've been trying to sell stuff on Facebook. If you follow me, if you want to buy some of it, I'd appreciate it. But I was selling a set of tires, good, decent set of tires for $100. I mean, that's cheap. Four of them, 20 inch. This guy's whittling on me for $50, and he gives me a sad story. And I say, okay, I'll let you have more 50. Sounds like you need them. But he never would show up. I had three guys. Isn't it how it works when someone, you say, okay, you can have it for that. Then three more text me wanting the full price. You know what the temptation is to do? Hey, I've got to sell to somebody else. But I said, no, I've already got them. What am I saying? We are to have virtue. We're to do what our deal is. We can't change it just because another deal that's better comes along. I've already gave the man that word that he could have them for that price. I'm saying there should be something that the Scripture speaks of the fact we should add to our faith. Something that says we're almost starting to look a little bit like the one that we call our Savior. Amen? Adding into our life. Because I believe the witness of the church needs to be a church that's adding to their faith the things that we just read. Because it has an impact on every area of our life that we deal relationships with. Because it says, if I have these things in my life, I will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of who? The one that we're wanting to go forward in is Christ Jesus. But the verse I didn't read, it says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. If we're lacking these things, we have forgotten what Jesus done in our lives. There should be something that says we know him. We're also told in this very same, or in the very thought of this, is that we are told what we are to seek in the kingdom. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says this, if you were raised with Christ, how many have been raised with Christ this morning? All right, this is to all of us. If you were raised with Christ, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things above, not on the things which are on earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. We find here that in the passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 3, I love that passage of Scripture. I could preach 45 minutes easy with no notes on that passage of Scripture. Now hold on, I'm not going to do it this morning. But I'm just saying it's a great passage of Scripture because it says, if I have called upon the Lord, if I have been saved, is what the Scripture says. If you've been raised with Christ, that literally speaks of the visible thing that we see when we see somebody baptized in water. It declares my old life is dead, and when I come back up, it says my new life is there in front of all the witnesses. How many of you remember when you got baptized? I remember when I got baptized in Spearman, Texas. The baptistry did not have heated water. And it was cold. And I came up shouting, not because the Spirit was on me. I was just freezing. But I'm saying to everybody that was out in that sanctuary that day, that my old life was dead and my new life has been raised up in Christ Jesus. What is it? Outward testimony of an inward work. Of the inward work that I'd confessed and gave my life to Jesus Christ, and now I'm saying to all that was watching that day that I have been saved. The water didn't wash my sins away. That was nothing more than a testimony to all my friends out there that knew me before, and they said, okay, we're watching you. Jesus says, and Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if we've been raised in Christ, we have a responsibility. What is that? That's moving beyond those elementary principles. We have a responsibility to start seeking those things which are above. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm seeking heaven. No, the principles of heaven. Did you know you're no longer, when you become part of the family of God, you're no longer a citizen of this world, but you are a citizen of heaven. We start to seek those things which says we're going to add to our walk. We're going to go after. We're going to move forward in our walk by seeking the things of heaven in our life. It spoke over more than just these three examples I give you in the Scripture of moving forward from when we got saved. From moving forward from when we got saved. All of us should have that mindset that we shouldn't be happy with where we're at with Christ today. We should want to go forward in that walk. Listen, if we're moving forward in Christ, we also are drawing near to Him. The Scripture tells us in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says that draw near to God and He will draw near to you. How many of you have heard that quoted? Many times, many of us have said it. I've said it preaching. Now I say it probably more times preaching. If we'll draw near unto the Lord, He will draw near to us. But we forget the second part of that verse, which says this, and we don't like this part. I don't like it. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, if we're going to quote part of it, we need to quote the rest of it. It says, draw near unto God and He will draw near unto you. Which is moving forward in Christ, if we look at drawing near. But it will require us, listen, if we're going to move forward in Christ, it will require us to move some things out of our life that is hindering us getting closer to the Lord. It will require us to get some things out of our lives God is not going to reach down and take things out of your life. You've got to have the attitude that I'm going to move these things out because I want to get closer to God. And if I move those things out, then God will get closer to me. And we've got, it's your job, my job, for my own personal life and your personal life. Scripture reveals some areas in our lives that could hinder us from moving forward in Christ. We find some areas because that's what we want to do. We want to get closer to the Lord Jesus. We want to walk closer to Him. We want to draw nigh unto Him. But Scripture reveals some areas in our lives that could hinder us from moving forward. I seen a deal the other day. Some of you young people won't even know what I'm talking about. But you know, a long time ago when I started dating, there was bench seats in the front. Any of y'all remember those? Even the pickups had them. I had a brand new 84 Chevrolet GMC pickup, not Chevrolet, GMC. It was decked. I had electric windows and a cassette tape. But literally, when you went on a date, that old girl would sit right next to you. And that's where she rode. No seat belts, no nothing. But you know, someone now, every vehicle's got a console in the middle. And it's come in between. It's a hindrance for that type of driving anymore. It's a hindrance for that type of dating. And all the dads say, praise God. They're a hindrance in the same way. If you can imagine God here and you here and you're wanting to get closer to God, there's hindrance that can come in between us and God that can keep us from riding next to the Lord. Hindrance that are there. And I want to mention a few of them this morning that could help us understand. A hindrance is something that keeps you, that will slow you down or keep you from achieving the goal in your life. I know that sometimes when we go to Roaring Springs Camp, there's 4 miles, I believe, and or something like that, of dirt road. And if you're at the campground on Friday and you're going home on Friday and it rained Thursday night, there's going to be a hindrance of you getting out of that. And I've always made my mind up that if I'm going, I'm not stopping. But if you've got a line of church vans and youth pastors driving them, nothing personal, Ryan. Somebody's going to stop, and when they stop, it gets everybody stuck. I've literally went out around everybody into the ditch to pass all of them and keep going. I'm just saying it's a hindrance. They all want to leave camp. Believe me, on Friday, you are ready to go home. And especially the adults that have been there because they haven't had sleep since Monday. And this becomes a hindrance to them, the rain and all that. It's the same thing when we talk about in our relationship with Christ. When we're wanting to get closer to Him, we have hindrances that come in our life. And we may not realize this is something that perhaps the enemy's put in there or something that we've allowed to come into our life. And it will keep us from drawing nigh unto God. That's what it says, repent. Double-minded means of you've got your feet on each side of the fence, one in the world and one after God. Did you know putting more emphasis on the things of this world than on Christ will hinder a Christian from moving forward? Putting more emphasis on the things of this world than on Christ will hinder a Christian from moving forward in Christ. Matthew 19, verses 21 and 22, it says, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect. He's talking to a rich young ruler. And the rich ruler asked the question, what do I need to have eternal life? I mean, that's a wonderful question. We all should have that question in our heart. What do I need to have eternal life? And this is what he asked Jesus that day. And Jesus says, well, you know what's good. And he says, I keep all the commandments. And Jesus looked at him and said, do this one thing. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven and come follow me. No, Jesus is not saying buy your way into heaven. This is not what he's speaking to him. What he's seen in that passage of Scripture, what he's speaking in that story, is God looked into his heart and seen what was hindering him from having the right relationship with Christ. The right relationship. He's seen what would hinder him from following him. He's seen what would hinder him from going forward in him because, or going forward in Christ. And it was the material things of this world. It was the money to this guy. But he looked into the heart. Can I tell you this morning that Christ has your heart in his vision? He knows exactly what's in every one of our hearts, and he knows what's hindering us from going forward. I don't get to fool him. I may fool my wife, and that's very seldom. But I'll tell you, I have never fooled God. And God knows our hearts and what our desires are in our life. Is he saying, hey, it's bad to have things in life? No. He says what's bad about it is the position that you're putting them in. You're going to be putting what you own in front of us as relationship. That's why Christ says in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, I don't mind blessing you. I don't mind giving you a nice house. I don't mind you having a GMC to drive. He doesn't mind a lot of these things. But what he does mind is when we put everything else in this world ahead of him instead of having him first. And we do that. We live in a materialistic world today that we're all about the big house. And we're all about the cars, the boats, all these things. I'm telling you, I love a nice vehicle to drive. And there's nothing wrong with that. When I grew up, I got a new car about every 2 years. And then I got married. But it all happens. All these things, there's nothing wrong with those. But when I start seeking the things of the world, when I start seeking the methods of the world, when I start spending my Sundays like the world spends them, when I start doing my money like the world spends their money, something's wrong because I don't have my heart where it needs to be. And it can be a hindrance. The Bible says you can't have two gods. You can only have one. So he's saying to the young man, he's not against this guy being rich. He's against where he's going to put that wealth. And we see that very thing in our lives. Because Christ picked the very thing that he knew this man was attached to. I ask you this morning, what are we attached to? Are we attached to some things in this world that we need to let go in order to grow closer to God? Or do we just need to shuffle it and put it in the right position that God wants it to be in? It does not have to be money or material things. It could be as much as living and thinking like the world. Did you know the Bible has called us to be separate, set apart than what the world is that we're living in? There should be something different about you and I as godly people. Listen, 1 John 2:15 says this, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It can't get any clearer than that. Oh, we got to be in the world. God, Jesus didn't say take them out of the world. He says keep them. And the way we do that is by having our relationship with Christ in the right place. Sometimes the hindrance that we're having is what our desire is in this world. So if we're going to get closer, see, loving the world is a hindrance to moving forward in Christ. The world became a hindrance to this rich man because in verse 22 it says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In other words, what Christ said to him and what he called him out for became a hindrance to him in following Jesus. Here's an answer for us if we're hung up on the things of the world. In Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that good and acceptable will unto God. The renewing of our mind, the way we think. And what is important in life anymore? Contentment goes a long way with our relationship with God. Contentment and being happy with what God's given us can change completely how close God can come into our lives. Having contentment. I was in Boise City, Oklahoma. We lived in Campo, Colorado. This is when Rob and I, we stepped out of the family business and we're go and work for my little brother. And we moved to Boise City, or from Boise City to Campo, 28 miles. I didn't have another vehicle. We were just barely scraping by. And I learned really how to budget at that time in our life. We got paid every 2 weeks. We had about $25 left in every paycheck. And I thought, oh my, what have I done to my family? But you know what God provided? God gave us a place that we could afford. It's a long story, man. God was just working. But I needed another car, and I would have never have done what I did. But I had a guy coming into the store, and he had an old four-door gray Citation. And he had a dog that rode with him every morning from Kenton, Oklahoma, into Boise City to have coffee with us. And that Labrador had literally ripped the cloth off the back seat of that thing. And he says, well, if you need a car, you can have that one. Now, there would have been a time in my life I said, no, thank you, sir. I'll walk. But something in my relationship with God had taught me some humility and humbleness in my life. And so I took that car and got me, now this is redneck, I got me a case of a machine gray spray can. And I sprayed that thing. Oh, it was looking terrible. I thought it looked good. But what I'm saying is you couldn't have gotten me to do that when I was in my 20s. But something in my life with God, I learned where material things needed to be. And this was provision that God gave me. I pulled up in that car. My little brother like hid himself. So he says, you are not kidding to me. And I said, oh, I love it. It burnt more oil than it did gas. Literally had some teenagers messing with me on the road from Campo to Boise City. And I went to pass them. I got it up to what it would do, about 70. And they wouldn't let me around. I mean, messing with me on 287. You had all kinds of ornery people on 287s. I thought, I looked at their nice new car and I looked at mine. I thought, I'll just come on over. They slowed down. That's beside the point. But I'm just saying today that sometimes we put way too much focus. Does God want you to have good things? Yeah. I went from that gray car. I went to a Audi next. And as God just helped us. And then I went to a four-door all-air ride Lincoln. I pulled up with that one. My dad, he says, you look like a preacher now. I'm just saying God has a way of doing things when we put things in the right order. All through that time, I never once cheated God in tithes. God has a way to provide when we put Him the right order. And this is what He's telling the rich young man. He says, if you'll just do away with it, I believe God would have gave it back to him. He was dealing with a heart matter, not a money matter. And those things can hinder our walk when we put the other in front. And this is what God was doing. With Him, the renewal of our mind. Start looking at things in the way of the citizens, as citizens of heaven. Everything we see on this earth is going to burn up anyhow. Amen? Putting in the right order. Another thing is choosing false teachings or religion over the truth and God's Word can hinder a Christian from moving forward in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Now Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia concerning false teachings that had invaded them. The whole book of Galatians basically addresses this issue of first in grace, receiving the Lord by faith, versing works, and receiving by the law. The key here is that they were on the right track and some teaching hindered them from their relationship with God. The teaching that they were listening to kept them from drawing close to the Lord. Did you know that we are told in 2 Peter, in the second chapter, that there are false teachers among us today? And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. There are many of those false teachers out there today in this world that we live in. There are many seeking them out. And then there are those, and if you're on social media much at all, everybody's got a theology. Everybody's got a theory. I'm just saying today, false teaching can hinder us from our relationship with God. When we follow doctrine and teachings that are not grounded in the Word of God, it can hinder us from having the right relationship with Christ. Some say, what's the point of having churches and having denominations and different things like that? Do you know that you should check the churches, what they stand for, what they believe if you're going to go to a church? I had a lady in my church once says, well, I didn't know we believed that. I said, it's part of our 16 fundamentals of truth. What do you believe? I'm not a Pentecostal preacher just because my mama was Pentecostal and my grandmother was Pentecostal. My other grandmother, they were Church of Christ. They didn't like me being a Pentecostal preacher at all. I still remember the conversation with my grandmother, Grandmother Snyder, the Church of Christ. She says, you're not going to speak in tongues and all that. And I said, yeah, I do. I love you, Grandma. But I just say sometimes it contradicts. But whatever we're listening to and whatever we're feeding on, we need to make sure it's grounded in the Word. And you don't know if it's grounded in the Word unless you're in the Word. Amen. Read the Bible. When Paul came preaching, he came preaching a new message than anybody's ever heard to the Berean group. And he told them about Jesus, the sacrifice and all that. And they said, we'll get back with you tomorrow. We're going to go and search the Scriptures. I don't mind you searching Scriptures on me. I've had people text me and said, I don't think you said that right. And sometimes I say things I shouldn't have said. Or they didn't come out right. Or you heard them different than what I said them. I had a lady says, you said this and that. I said, no, I didn't. Listen to the CD. Sure enough, I didn't say what she said I said. But I'm just saying today, we have a responsibility, each one of us, because see, you're not going to be able to say, well, Pastor Billy led me astray. You're not going to be able to say, well, so-and-so led me astray. When we stand before Christ, it's going to be us and us only. Therefore, every one of the Bible says, let each one of us work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, let's prove what the Word of God says. And if what's being taught is in the Word of God, that's what we need. There's false teachers that come in and say things because we're living in the prophetic time that people want to hear things that make them feel good. I don't mind it every now and then when someone says, well, you stepped on my toes today. That used to be an old saying. But as I said, well, the Word of God dealt with my life. False teaching can hinder us because anytime it's not true with the Word of God, it can keep us from getting closer to God. Hey, there's that also today that we live in, is that feel-good club. I hear people say this, well, I believe it to be this way. Or, I feel this. Can I tell you, what you believe and what you feel will not amount to anything unless it's in the Word of God. There's a lot of people go, well, God, I thought my sin was okay with you. But does it say that in the Word? I've had many people tell me, I says, well, I just feel like I'm going to make it to heaven. I said, sir, it's not about a feeling. It's about faith. And it's about knowing what the gospel of Jesus Christ says. So false doctrines, false teaching. I got to hurry up because I didn't realize I was out of time. Listen, sometimes the truth hurts. But if we tell the truth in love, then it can produce things. And not everybody will accept the truth, and I get that. I understand it. I don't think everybody likes my preaching. I get that. But that's just how life is. But if we're moving forward in Christ, we must adapt our lives to the truth of God. If we're going to move forward, we must adapt it. Our relationships, all these things that the Word of God says. Because see, there's a lot of people who'll stand right up here in this pulpit, not this one, but others. And they'll say such thing, all right, you can live with that woman and make it to heaven, or you can do this or that. But that is not found in the Word of God anywhere. The Word says different. Another thing that can keep us from moving forward in Christ is reverting back to the old life we had before Christ. Before Christ can hinder us from moving forward in Him. In chapter 6 of in the book of Hebrews, you'll find that whole thing. They started out serving God, and all of a sudden somebody came in, a false teacher, and taught, and they persuaded them to move back to the legalistic system of the temple, and now they were not seeing Jesus as the sacrifice that saved their sins. It's talking about going back into their old life. The old life, what we were, can hinder us. Listen, it is literally impossible to move forward in Christ if we're hanging out where the old man used to live. The old man, I'm talking about the flesh. I'm talking about the one we were before we confessed Jesus as Lord of our lives. It's hard to go forward when we're still attached to what we used to be. Some areas, let me give you some areas in the old life that will give strength to the old person that we were. Can I say that I'm not trying to offend anybody this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. Music is powerful. Music is powerful. If I was to ask you a song that you heard in the eighth grade, and immediately you will remember that whole, I think you will, I don't know. Maybe that whole circumstance is what was going on when you heard that song or what that song used to be. Music is a powerful thing. It has the way of being able to transport us back into where we were at that particular moment. Before I got saved, I was a rock and roll guy. I liked country. I liked just about anything that wasn't godly. And sometimes when Robin and I are on the road and if we don't have the satellite connected, every now and then they'll do that free for us. But if we haven't got the satellite radio going on, sometimes we'll go through a channel, and there may be something that I used to listen to before I got saved, and it takes me, in my mind, I go back. Music is a powerful thing, and I'm not against it. Maybe that's just me. I'm not sitting up here preaching against music. I'm saying sometimes our all that attach to can keep us from going forward in Christ. Another thing, friends that we used to run around with. Friends that we used to run around with can hinder us from going forward in Christ, especially if they have not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I ran with a group of guys. I still love that group of guys I ran with, and I eat lunch with them every now and then, but I'm not consistent in their life. I'm not constantly there. We used to go, man, we water skied, we snow skied, we went flying. A couple of them had airplanes. We'd fly everywhere. And all this, I like these guys, and I still talk to them every now and then, but they are not part of my life because I know if they're not saved, that will have an influence on my life. Some of the things that hinder us is because we're holding on to the past. And I'm just saying, I love them. We have, like I said, we have lunch every now and then. They get me. I quit all that stuff. But old friends can be a hindrance. Places that we went to, places that are associated with the old life that can hinder us from going forward with God. Do you know social media can be a place when it offers the things that you came out of? May I say this morning, because I want you to know that when we start holding on or reverting back to the old stuff that we had, it becomes a slippery slope when we start playing that game. And it can hinder us from going forward in Christ. You say, Pastor, well, you just don't understand. I understand it completely because I've lived it and understand what it'll do in our lives. But I want you to understand this morning that reverting back or hanging on can keep us from moving forward in Christ. The last thing here is a lack of spiritual discipline will hinder a Christian from moving forward in Christ. Lack of spiritual discipline. Now, when I speak of discipline, I'm talking about discipline for yourself spiritually. I believe with all my heart. I was shocked a while back when I heard that one of our college professors had never read the Bible all the way through. That just blew my mind. Can I tell you one of the spiritual disciplines we should have if we're going to move forward in Christ is to read His Word. I can't tell you, I don't say this boasting, but I can't tell you how many times I've read through the Bible. Because the Bible, I heard, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's for my daily walk and it's for where I'm headed, is what the Word of God is. You say, well, it's complicated. All the lineage in there. I get it. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I just right through those, don't pay attention, and get to the next part of the verse. And you're feeling all guilty about it. Now I'll release that from you. But I get it. I'm in Genesis again because the New Year's. I love the stories in Genesis. A lot to learn. Did you know I shared Genesis chapter 3, verse 21 this morning in our Sunday school class with the fact that the first shedding, the first covering for man's sin was in the Garden of Eden. Is where the Lord killed innocent animals to cover Adam and Eve. And that theology, that goes throughout the Bible, pointing to the cross of Calvary. Where did I get that? Out of God's Word. Discipline. If you just make your mind up to read a little bit, it would be great. It's so spiritual. If I'm really wanting to move forward in Christ, I've got to read His Word. It's not a contest. And some of us read faster, some of us read slower, but the key is that we read the Word of God. And I want to encourage you before the reading the Word, say, Holy Spirit, open the Word up to my heart that I may have understanding of it. Another spiritual discipline, if I'm moving forward, I must spend time praying. Praying. Have you ever noticed that when you set time aside to pray is when the whole world interrupts you? Why is that? Because the enemy does not want you talking to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is a conversation. It doesn't happen. I think you should have a time set aside every day. But prayer is a conversation even throughout the day unto the Lord. Amen? Those times in the car, I love those times. I found one of my favorite times is in between Lubbock and Amarillo. I don't know what it is about that road. I guess because it's two lanes, I don't have to worry about hitting somebody coming on at me, but just praying and worshiping the Lord. God speaks many times in those moments. God speaks to you in prayer. Meditation, Megan spoke of that this morning. Oh, you're going to like this next one. Spiritual discipline. Fasting. Fasting. You say, well, Pastor, I don't like fasting. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't either. You can tell I'm trying to lose some weight, but it's still there. I was talking about, sure don't want to do your medical exams on January because I think I won't pass the diabetic one because of all the sugar I ate last month. But I'm just saying fasting is something that brings you closer to the Lord. It's not about me showing. It's not about me calling up Gunner, hey, Gunner, I'm fasting today. Just want you to know that. No, it's between me and God. Fasting is a way to say no to the flesh and yes to the Lord. It's a discipline in her life. I remember Brother Otto, is that his name? The missionary? Is that who it was? Old guy? Huh? Kaiser, Otto Kaiser, yeah. I remember one day he sat right here. And he says, somebody in this house needs to start fasting. You know where his finger went? Right at me. And I'm thinking, how'd you know I hadn't been fasting lately? But I took it from God, knowing that this is something I need to do in my life. And believe me, over the years, I found out when I have the discipline of fasting, God does amazing things. Obedience and practice of the Word. To obey it and practice the Word in our life. That's a discipline. You know, I'm going to give you, everybody has an opportunity to practice the Bible. You say, just on Sunday? No, every day. You have the opportunity to practice the Bible. When we go to the restaurant here in a little while, and that person messes your food up, Lou, like happens all the time. When that waiter doesn't quite treat you just right, you got the opportunity to say, I love you. Don't say that, but it'd be nice to them. Be kind to them. Be kind. We have an opportunity to practice the Word of God every day. Spiritual discipline is to practice the Word. When someone gets in your face, slap them. No, when someone gets in your face, Literally, what does the Bible tell us to do? Be calm, be cool, turn the other cheek. You know, that turning the other cheek is talking about insulting you. Somebody hits you, that's a different story. Spiritual discipline, and I'm just about done, is church attendance. Church attendance. You know, if the devil can get you out of church, he's going to get you out of relationship. Amen? Church attendance is powerful. I have found that to be part of my life. I started, when I got saved, I started coming on Sunday morning from 11 o'clock to noon. Next thing I knew, I was going to Sunday school from 9:30 to noon. And then the next thing I know, back when Sunday night was really a good thing, I was at Sunday night service. And then next thing I knew, I was at Wednesday night service. Revival services. I'm just saying, what is church? Is church save you? No, but church to me is more like a place of we get fed through the Word of God. We have a time to come together and worship our King. Who knows? The Holy Ghost meets you in the house. Church attendance is important in our relationship. And the way the world thinks today is church is nothing. I don't even need to be there. I'm going to tell you, God wants you here. I'm going to draw closer to Christ. Amen? Those are some of those spiritual disciplines in our life that will help us. Paul said this in Philippians 3:12, not that I've already attained or am already perfect, but I press on. What was Paul saying? I'm going to press on to being closer to Christ in my walk. That there is a popular passage, a scripture to preach at the first of the year. But can I say, Paul had his mind set that he is going to move forward in Christ Jesus. That he moves forward in Christ Jesus. You have to have determination. Determination. If you're going to move forward in Christ, I can't make you. Your wife can't make you. Wives, you can't make your husband do that. The Bible just says, let God work on them. Do you know every one of us grow spiritually at a different pace? And we need to respect that in one another. I can't expect somebody to be like me, and you can't expect me to be like you. But all of us should have the mindset that we're going to go forward in Christ. I don't know about you, but in my walk, I've had times that I look back and I thought, I have not gone forward. Maybe I've went a few steps backwards. And you know who I met back there? His name is Jesus. And he said, what are you doing back here when you need to be going up here? So I would encourage you, for 2026, I don't have a word for you, like a special, you know, overcomer or grace. But I have a challenge for each one of us here this morning. Is that we make our mind up just as much as Paul was determined to press forward. That's what the word means, press. That we make our mind up to go forward in Jesus. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? Because if Angela makes her mind up, Gunner makes his up, Nina makes his, Robert makes his, Stephanie and Chuck make this, all of us make our mind up to go forward. I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen in this church. We're going to have an amazing year. Amen? Because when we walk in with the attitude that I'm moving forward in Christ Jesus, there's no telling what's going to happen in our praise service. There's no telling what's going to happen in our servant departments that we need servants in. God is going to move. I cannot move for everybody. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, I'm going after Jesus. Hallelujah. Made my mind up. I'm chunking all the church 101 growths. I'm just going after Jesus. Would you join me in that thought? Amen. Lord, today we thank you. Lord, we're thankful today, God, that you, Lord Jesus, has given us the opportunity to be part of your kingdom. And Lord, this church, San Jacinto, is part of that. And Lord, this church is made up of individuals. It's not made up of just a pastor, but Lord, it's made up of individuals that are calling you by name and calling you Lord and Savior. And Lord, today I pray for each one of us, God, today. Lord, not only for this group, God, but for our visitors too. Lord, that each one of us, God, would make our mind up to go forward in you and be willing to release the hindrance in our life, God, that are keeping us from getting closer to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that you would let that be our mindset this year, individually, God, and even as a church. Now, Father, may your blessing, Lord, be upon each person here. And God, may you pour or shine your face upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen.